Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Luke chapter 6. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll be in Luke chapter number 6. We just sang the solid rock, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And we're going to read about that today. Matthew chapter 7, first of all, starting in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Over in Luke chapter number 6, we have the same story, given a little bit differently, but the same story in Luke 6, 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth not my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray, and then we'll go on today. Lord, we thank you for the Bible. I pray that you'd quiet everyone's hearts and minds, help us to just focus on what you'd have us to say and hear from your word. I pray that you would help us to make application correctly, that you would just guide my mouth and mind and heart to be saying what you'd have said, and help us to be encouraged, help us to be challenged, help us to be different than we were before. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter number 7 and Luke chapter 6, it tells this story of the wise man and the foolish man. And I love this story. It's a great illustration. It's a very simple illustration, and it's simple enough I can even preach it, and hopefully people can understand it. Matthew chapter 7, again, he talks about many who think that they're okay the way they are. And they'll be surprised to find out that God's going to say, I never knew you, even though they had thought they had done many wonderful works. And then he breaks right into this parable in verse 24. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man and then a foolish man. Let me just first of all say to you that storms will come. Job chapter 14 verse 1 says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. And every one of us are going to have trouble. Trouble is just part of life. We're going to have trials. We're going to have trouble. There's going to be things that come in our life. And storms will come. Trials will happen to all of us. And notice here it says the rain came. And by the way, the rain came, the floods came, the wind blew on both houses. And here in verse 24, verse 25, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. When I was thinking about rain, I think about the fact that it comes from above, doesn't it? Rain comes from above. And you know, there are afflictions that come from above. When sickness comes, when illness comes, when death comes, ultimately, you do understand that God allowed that. I'm not saying he sent it, but he allowed it. And we don't always understand why something happens, why someone got ill, why this person died, why did that happen? And we don't always understand why the rains fall. And yet, there's rains that come. That's a trial. Now, secondly, the rain descended and the floods came. The floods, the afflictions from the world, from below, from the earth. And so the result of a problem that's allowed from above starts to build up, and the rain starts to build up into a flood and starts to rise. And I think of the worldly issues that we have and the things that this world puts us through and allows us to get ourselves into that we didn't even ask for. How about the fact that more than ever before, we find out how much we are all tied to an economy. And when the floods come, whether we weren't initially a part of the problem or not, it just the floods come. And then with it comes crime and something else that comes out of this earth and this world is persecution. And those are real things. And rains descend, floods come. I've never been in a serious flood situation. We had something like it last summer, but even that wasn't deadly. No one died from it. But floods do come, and they can be a struggle and a trial. Then notice it says, rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Wind is interesting because you all know there's wind. You all know that wind exists, and you've all seen the wind, right? Actually, you've never seen the wind. You can't see the wind. You just see what wind does. And so I think that's kind of a picture of the spirit world. You know, there really is a spirit world. There really is a prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. And there really are principalities and powers in the spirit realm that we don't even understand. They call it demonic, but the devils and Satan himself, the idea of a spirit oppression, and there's that. There's definitely that. So there are storms that come. There are trials that will happen, and they happen sometimes because God's allowing it. And when, by the way, if you'll read the book of Job, if God allows it, there's still a good thing that can come from it. God doesn't do anything to destroy us on purpose. It's just to teach us something. And so if God allows it, he has a purpose in mind. I'm thankful for some of the silver linings I've already seen just in the last few weeks in the storm clouds. And then, of course, there's the floods that come. I'm frustrated, like I'm sure you are. You go to the store, and all I want to do is buy some mozzarella cheese. You'd think you could go to Sam's Club and buy mozzarella cheese. You can't. It's not there. I've never seen it before where shelves after shelves are just cleared out. What in the world? I don't know how many rolls of toilet paper people need to have in their house, but apparently they got to have more than I do. And it's frustrating. And so this world frustrates us, and the floods come. And you know, who do you blame when a flood comes? It just comes. It's just an accumulation of every droplet that just kind of accumulates and it overtakes us. And of course, the winds, the spirit world that we don't even see and all the oppression there. But notice both houses went through this. But the first house passed with flying colors. The house fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I want to notice here, secondly, the wisdom of the obedient wise man. I call him obedient because he obeyed. He obeyed the gospel. He obeyed what God said to do. He did the will of the Father. He listened to what he was told to do. First of all, he believed in the rock. Now, I spell it capital R because the Bible spells it capital R. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 4, you'll see that that rock was Christ. In chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians verse 11, it says, "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the rock." And so the wise man, the picture here, of course, Jesus is saying, the rock is me. I am the rock. And the wise man builds his house upon the rock. And it doesn't matter what happens in the trials and tribulations that take place. He's able to be founded and he's rest securing on the rock. Notice it says there in Luke chapter 6, we read a little bit ago, he dug deep. He digged deep and established his house upon a rock. If you're going to build, you've got to dig deep. You can't just any contractor will tell you, you can't just pour a pad of concrete on top of the ground if you want that foundation to be firm. You got to dig down, especially around here. You got to make sure that you get below the frost line, and you got to make sure that you've got footers, and you've got a foundation. This guy, before the days of concrete trucks, he dug deep till he found the rock. I appreciate those of you in here that have dug deep. Some people find the first religious-looking person that sounds like they know what they're talking about, and it's a comfortable message, so they just go with it. That's not digging deep. There's a lot of people do that. That's not digging deep. Digging deep is when you say, I want it the solid rock, the firm foundation. And of course, that rock is Christ. When you peel it back, you'll find out the rock is Christ. And he dug deep until he found it. Now, notice also, he didn't start building until after he found it. I know that's kind of a duh point, but think about it. You don't build the house first and then decide what foundation it should have. I realize some houses today are built that way, but they're not nearly as secure as the ones that start with the foundation. And the foundation has to be secure. Years ago, I had a neighbor over on the state line that someone poured him a foundation, and it was just a 4-inch thick foundation. It's supposed to be 8 inches, but the contractor was cheating him, 4 inches of concrete. And it wasn't discovered till after the two stories of the house was built on top of it. You got to have the foundation first, and it's got to be solid. And folks, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, having faith, add to your faith virtue. And then to virtue, add knowledge. But you start with what? You start with faith. It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. How firm a foundation. We have to have Christ first as our solid rock. That's got to be where it starts. Listen, it could be that the foolish man had a 3-story house. And it could be that the wise man never could afford the 3-story house. He just had a simple, one-level, modest 3-bedroom. But guess which one was sorry in the end? Now, for a long time, I'm sure all the neighbors thought, whoa, 3-story. That guy's impressive. Sure wish I could be like him. Because how many of us do we drive through the neighborhood going, whoa, look at that foundation. That's a cool-looking foundation. We don't do that. We're not admiring the foundation. No, we like the gables and the dormers and all the different architecture and design. My son's a civil engineer. He was telling Jeff a while ago, architectures make things look pretty. Civil engineers make sure they stay up. But we're curb appeal. We're all, and I'm sure the foolish man, if he's like any of the foolish men in our world, had curb appeal. Wise man, simple, not very impressive, but foundation. You see the comparison here? Can you think of some friends and neighbors and work co-workers? That's kind of what's been going on. They've got the 3-story and it looks good. And now this week they're going nuts. And they are so afraid. Because everything that they built everything on was sand. But the wise man wasn't disappointed with the results. It didn't fall. So then, verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto the foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. I'm standing here talking to you. I just wanted to say to you that the rain and then the floods and the winds. The wise man knows who's in charge. It was prayed earlier already. I don't remember. I prayed with different people this morning already. I don't remember who said it, but sometimes God allows things to happen for a reason. And we don't understand all what goes on and the resulting flood of it, but I'll tell you this. I do know that there are some people out there that are starting to question their foundation. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a blessing. The foolishness of the disobedient fool. I don't need a foundation. My foundation's good enough. I'll be okay. I know what I'm doing. And it's on sand. Now, notice here, he did recognize his need for a house. I mean, he did recognize that he needed to build. I mean, we ought to give him a little brownie points for that. He did recognize the need. He needed to build. Okay. Secondly, he was not lazy. He built his house. He wasn't lazy. He built a house. But sadly, he wasted his time and his energy. My wife was raised Amish till she was 12 years old. What a glorious blessing that my in-laws all got saved out of the Amish. But you talk about people that are not lazy. You talk about people that work hard and are very impressive and respectable in their lifestyle. But their entire lifestyle is built on sand. Tom Palmer, we read his letter last week. He called this week because he's surrounded by about 250 Amish people. And he is so burdened for them. And so he called because, of course, of Wilma's connection and was telling us about what's going on. They're very hard workers. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are some religious people out there that put you and I to shame as far as their work and their energy and their giving and sacrifice towards what they think is important. We call them JWs. They knock on your door. They work hard. I wish some of us would be that dedicated to what we believe in as they are. But they don't have the right foundation. There's others. I've heard and read and seen on video of people who over in Rome and places like that, they crawl on their hands and knees up and down steps until their knees are bleeding. There are people who every morning go in and observe a certain mass or something. Every morning. I'm not making fun of them. I'm telling you, they're more dedicated, it seems, to what they believe in than sometimes we are. The problem is that you can work really hard and build really well, but if you're on the wrong foundation, it's going to be destroyed. And I'm not saying that to make fun, but I hope you see the foolishness of it when you realize that's what he said, this foolish man. Wasted all the time and energy. By the way, I think that's why it's so hard for people as they get older to say, I need to get saved. It becomes harder for them to admit that. I mean, guys, think about it. You build a 3-story house and Mr. Engineer comes along and says, I got to condemn it. You're in the middle of a building project. The last thing you want to hear is somebody say, it's condemned. That makes you angry. Why? Don't you know how much time and money I put into that? Don't you know how detailed every door frame and window frame is? And believe me, there's people out there that they are very detailed in their religion and very sincere in what they're putting together. Do you understand why they're upset when you say, it's on the wrong foundation? He wasn't lazy. He did recognize the need and he was doing something about it. But he ignored the rock. He ignored the rock. Let's look at a couple places here. First of all, Acts chapter 4. Acts 4, verse 10 through 12. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This Jesus Christ, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Over in Colossians chapter number 2, Colossians chapter 2, it says in verse 6 that we're to be rooted, same idea as foundation, rooted and grounded in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. Verse 6 and 7, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith. But then notice verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Could I say it this way? After the sand of the world, and not after Christ. I made that video last night, and I said in the video that something, I'm going to say it again. There's a lot of people in hell that have been baptized. I don't think Satan cares if you get baptized as long as you don't get on the right foundation first. I say that coming from a home where my father was baptized as a baby. When he became 26 years old, he heard the gospel and he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Then he wanted to get baptized. The salvation comes first, not the baptism. And I liken it to the wedding ring and how that this ring tells you something about me. It tells you that I'm married. But if I take it off, I'm still married. This ring doesn't make me married. This ring is just a symbol. And the baptism is just a symbol. And it would be wrong for me to put it on any baby's finger and tell them they were married. It's just a symbol. And my grandmother had a hard time with that because her religion had told her that being baptized was what made you a Christian. And so she had her babies baptized right away. And when my father grew up and realized that he wasn't really a Christian until he received Jesus Christ and trusting in him and him alone, and his the only foundation, then my father got saved and then he wanted to get baptized, and it really bothered grandmother because of that. But I praise God that that agitation led to her being so agitated that she realized that maybe she wasn't really saved after all, and she got saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 3 says this. Romans chapter 10. For they, it's talking about the Jews, and it applies to every religion out there, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Ignorant of the true foundation, and going about to establish our own. You know, something I was thinking about sand. He built on his own earthly foundation. I was thinking about sand. The thing about sand that's so nice is you can make it any shape you want it. Even our concrete has sand in it compared to just a solid rock. And we like anything that will form and shape, because that means we can make it the way we want. The wise man, when he dug down, he had to submit to whatever shape the rock was for his house. But the foolish man, he could just, oh, I don't like that little hump there. I think I'll just smooth that out and pour a little water and form. You know, I think I'd like a little. And so he just make his foundation whatever he wanted it to be. That's what you and I see all around us, people making their God whatever they want them to be. In the imagination of their own heart. You know, I said that he ignored the rock. The word ignore also has the idea of ignorant. Sometimes we're ignorant and it's not our on purpose. We didn't do it on purpose, but we're ignorant. And that we read in Romans 10, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. Some people don't know what they need to know, and we have to tell them. Others know and they ignore it on purpose. Shame on them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The foundation is him, not me. The foundation is because of his righteousness, not mine. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. We sang a little bit ago. Not of my own, but him and him alone. If I go to heaven and try to answer in any other way than Jesus Christ is my foundation, I'm in trouble. He is the only way. He is the only foundation. And then, of course, notice he was immediately destroyed. The rain came, the flood came, the winds blew, and it fell. And I just want to close by saying this. Satan does not care to talk about the condition of your foundation. We're a Baptist church. We like to baptize people. We love it. But because the reason why we like to baptize people is because it means that they got saved and they're now on the right foundation and now they need to get baptized. We love to see people baptized. However, we don't want to see anybody baptized until they've been founded first, until they've gotten saved first. That's where it starts. And Satan does not care to talk about the foundation. He doesn't care. He doesn't mind talking about religion. He doesn't mind if you come dressed up, singing all the songs, participating in all the whatever you can participate in. And unfortunately, a lot of churches allow unsaved people to participate in all kinds of things, and they really shouldn't be. He doesn't mind that at all because it makes you feel good. It makes you feel religious. He doesn't care how religious you are as long as you don't ever get on that right foundation. But God is very concerned about your foundation. Are you as concerned about it as he is? Are you concerned about your children's foundation, about your spouse's foundation, about your loved ones and your neighbors? Turn with me back to Acts chapter 4. We read it again, but I want to close with this. Acts chapter 4. Acts 4:10. Jesus Christ, verse 11. This is the stone. He is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only way. He's the only rock. He's the only foundation that can save anyone. Are you the wise man or the foolish man? Do you know Christ is your Savior and you're on the solid rock? Listen, friend. The rains will come and the floods of the world will come. And floods carry us away, and we can't control floods, and they take us out of control sometimes. But if we're founded on the rock, we'll stand firm. Today in this world, I see all kinds of trouble. It's a trial. We all know that. But if you're on the solid rock, it doesn't matter. I'm not saying it won't feel bad. I'm not saying it won't be dark. I'm not saying it won't scare you. It won't sound pretty loud. But I'll tell you what, if we're founded upon the rock, that house will stand. It's a blessing to see some Christians who stand. And they don't stand in their own strength. They stand in the strength of the Lord. But it's a blessing to see Christians who, through trials and tribulations that come, they just stay standing. They're just founded on the rock. And aren't you amazed at some people who you thought they were saved, but as soon as something came along, boom, they just blew over like a house of cards. Well, let me tell you, sometimes we get fooled by the three stories and the gabled ends and the dormers. We get fooled by how religious someone looks. I want to remind everybody here, it's not about what's above the ground as much as it is what's rooted below. Where's your foundation? Is it on the solid rock or is it on sinking sand? Let's bow our heads for a moment. Our heads are bowed, eyes closed. I just want to ask this before we pray. Would there be someone here that would say, Pastor, I don't know if I'm on the foundation. I don't know if I'm on the solid rock. I don't know if I was to die today, I'd be in heaven. But you sound like you can show from the Bible how I can know to be saved. If you're that person and you're saying, I'd like to know how to be saved, raise your hand and let me know. Just acknowledge, say, Pastor, that's me. I'd like to talk with you about that. Anybody in here interested in that, I'd be glad to visit with you. Secondly, I hope you realize that Jesus didn't call that man foolish because we're supposed to have an arrogant spirit, because that's what he was. And I hope your heart breaks for people who are foolish, that your heart is broken and tender towards the foolish people who don't have a foundation that's going to matter. Let's close in prayer. We'll be dismissed today. Dear God, we thank you for the word. We thank you that you gave that parable, that you astonished those people that day by giving such a clear representation of what salvation is on you and you alone. And God, I pray that you'd help us not to be people who profess it but don't possess it. Help us to be people who aren't just trying to do the works, but really are obedient and submissive to your salvation and have trusted you as our Savior. I pray that we're not trusting in anything but you alone. And may us be ashamed if the fool is spending more energy and work ethic working on his religion than we do on ours. Help us to recognize where we have the advantage because we have you. Help us to build solidly. Help us to endure the storms and stand as an example and as a testimony to the foolish around this world. Thank you, God, for saving me and for saving many others in this room. Help us never to take it for granted or to assume that we did anything, because the rock's been there all the time. We just had to dig down and build on it. We thank you and praise you, God, that you are the Savior. You're the foundation. And because of that, our hope is secure and our anchor is firm. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.